Turning with me back to Galatians chapter 6. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, told his disciples these words concerning the Holy Spirit. He said in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." He was going to the cross, and they did not understand exactly the depth. He told them many times, "I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again." And you know what happened? I mean, he was crucified. They scattered. Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The two on the road to Emmaus, the Lord came to them. After he was risen, asked them what they'd been talking about. And they said, "Evidently you're not from around here. Jesus of Nazareth, we were sure that he was the Messiah. 3 days ago he was crucified." And he told them, "Oh, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets, scriptures, set forth." Beginning with Moses, he expounded unto them in all the word those things concerning himself. The Lord told his disciples, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you concerning the things that you're going to witness very soon." And you know, even tonight, the Spirit of God blesses the Word to our hearts. We hear it. Believers hear. Believers truly hear, and they hear with the heart. The Lord said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, tonight I'd like for us to consider Galatians chapter 6, first 5 verses, of what our Lord has to say. These are the words of God Almighty. These are God-breathed words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the breath of God, and they're profitable. I want you to look with me in the first 2 verses. We're going to look at two areas tonight. It's a believer and their attitude toward others, and then a believer and his attitude toward himself. First 2 verses deals with the believer's attitude toward his brethren. All men, but especially, he's talking about brothers, sisters in Christ. The apostle says, "Brethren." All right? You that are brothers, you that are sisters in the Lord, you that are in the family of God, knit together in Him, His body, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, and if you have a margin, that my margin says in that word, "if," it says, although, you know, and when. I mean, we're all frail. We're frail creatures of the dust. And we're susceptible to stumblings, falls. "Although, if a man be overtaken," and that word overtaken there is surprised. If he's surprised, I'll tell you what he's saying. If he's overtaken in a deviation, in a fault. Now, he's not talking about rebels against God that have one heart and one mind, and that's to rebel. That's all their bent is to rebel. I know that we all, as believers, we all have an old nature. And this old nature is still that old nature. It's the flesh. It's flesh, and it's always going to be flesh. And a believer is one that sees that old nature in him. He knows it's there. And I tell you what that believer desires. Because of that new man, he desires faithfulness. He desires faithfulness. He desires. Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him, that I might be found in him, following after him." A believer sees an old nature and he desires faithfulness. But the apostle says, if a man, although a man be surprised, and that is overtaken by temptation because of the passions that are within. There's a war going on. And that new man that sees and knows and hates those indwelling actions of sin, he sees them, he knows them. But I'm telling you, we're all prone to fall. We're all prone to stumble. Not fall from grace, I'm not talking about that. But to stumble. If a man be overtaken in a fault. You think about this. How about Peter? Others will forsake you. I'll never forsake you. Not me. Not me. And what did he do? He walked up, walked through this door, and one of the other disciples that was known, that knew the high priest, went in, saw Peter still standing at the door, came and talked to this maid at the door. She let him in. And that maid asked him, "Aren't you one of them that was there?" "No, that wasn't me. Two more times, and every time it was more angry, more vehement. Just, you know, began to curse. He gave an oath. "I promise you I'm not him." Then he's swearing and cussing. And said, "I don't know the man." The Lord, one of the Gospels said, "Lord, we're going to be looking at this, that passage here in a few weeks, Lord willing." Peter was in that same room the whole time the Lord was being questioned. He was there. He was listening. He could hear them. He was in there with them. And he heard what they were saying to him. They saw him slap him, put that crown of thorns on, spit on him and everything. And the scripture says, and he stood with them, warmed himself. And that was the third time they asked him. He said, "You're one of them, aren't you?" And that's when he started cussing. And he said, "I don't know the man." The Lord looked at him. Just looked. And scripture says, and Peter remembered, and he went out and wept bitterly. That's what he's talking about right here. Surprised. I promise you, Peter did not have the intent. He didn't go in there with the intent. "I'm going to go in there and deny him." Peter had told the Lord, I won't deny you. If a man be surprised, be overtaken in a fault. Ye which are spiritual. You which are born of the Spirit. You that are brethren, believers, trusting in Christ alone. You that have no confidence whatsoever in your flesh. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. That is, mend. Mend. Affectionately. Prayerfully. With a faithful instruction from God's Word. That word right there, restore, it's a word that we could understand like the setting of a bone that's out of joint, a bone that's broken, tenderly. It hurts already, you know. Restore such an one. How? The scripture says, in the spirit of meekness. Submission to Christ. Now listen, here's how a brother, a sister, that has stumbled, been surprised, the passions within, caught them caught them off guard. Wasn't planning on it. It wasn't their heart. They want to be obedient. But I'm telling you, in the heat of a moment, just you're caught. You that are spiritual, restore in the spirit of meekness, submission unto Christ, and with a lowliness of mind, esteeming that brother overtaken in a fault better than yourself. Not harshly, not sharply. He's already been overtaken. He's already distressed. He needs encouragement. Be lenient with him. Help him. He's a brother. She's a sister. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. How? Considering thyself. Take an aim. That's what the word considering there. Take an aim at yourself. Think about this. This one fell. This one that I know I've got some confidence in. I love him. I love her. And they were surprised. They tripped. Overtaken in a fault. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted, tested, tried, disciplined. Take a look at what happened to someone else and remember. We just as quickly will trip. We just as quickly will stumble. We're sinners, saved by the grace of God, frail creatures, redeemed by blood. And we're living in this world and we're tied to a body of flesh. And Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. That which I would, I don't. That which I want to do, I want to be obedient. I want to walk, and I don't see myself doing it." We're all susceptible. Strive, Scripture says, for strive for the restoration of those that's been overtaken in a fault. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Let us be eager to protect and to keep the oneness of spirit. If a brother or sister be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then he says in verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Carry those burdens. Consider those burdens to be your own. That's one of my brethren. That's one of my brothers or sisters. Consider and bear another's weaknesses. That's what their burdens, their weakness. Consider that case of that distressed brother to be your case and be patient with them. I know this. There's a scripture I found where it was talking about we don't bear with those. It's in Revelation 2:2. I think this will give you a good understanding of what that word bear means when it says bear ye one another's burdens. Revelation 2:2 to the church at Ephesus said this: "I know thy works, how thou canst not bear them which are evil." That it means endure. Tolerate. We don't have sympathy with the evil's doctrine and their practices that of rebellion against God or rebellion against the gospel. We don't mix with them. We don't fellowship. We don't have any fellowship. I know we're in this world, and you work with and you're around many. I know that, but when it comes to the gospel that we believe, we don't compromise the gospel of God's grace. But with brethren, we bear one another's burdens. We are tolerant. We do lift up. We do have sympathy. He says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, let me tell you what he just did not say. He did not say, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Moses. Let me show you this. John 13:34. One verse. Look at this. The law of Christ is what he said. Bear ye one another's burdens, and you'll fulfill this law. John 13:34. The Lord said, John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Here it is, that you love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. This, the law of Christ. Look at Galatians 5:14. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Under the inspiration of God's Spirit, Paul sets forth that the whole will of God for our attitude toward others, our duty toward others, is reduced to this one commandment: love each other. That's it. A new commandment I give unto you: love each other. Anything that does not proceed from love for another is useless. If it's not because you love, the Scripture says, Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. At what point do we finally pay off that debt? You never do. You know, you loved your brethren last week. You love them tonight, and by the grace of God, you'll love them next week. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, we hear the word law, and here's what we think. We think the law of Moses is what we're thinking. The Lord Jesus fulfilled God's law. That law that was given at Sinai, and the Lord himself obeyed that law. His obedience is the righteousness imputed to his people. So in Christ, we have obeyed the law of God. But here, the Scripture is setting forth, fulfill the law of Christ. He's talking about loving one another. A man that loves his brother, loves him for Christ's sake, loves him because of a new heart, loves him because God Almighty's given him new spirit, new mind. That man that loves his brother will not kill him. In body, in character, he won't steal from him. He won't try to steal his wife. Won't lie on him. Won't cheat him. Why? Because he loves him. They don't, you know. I know this. I wish I could love as I ought. I wish I did. I wish I could. I would desire to. But though we don't love as we wish we did, as we ought, as we will, we do love each other. God's people love each other. I was listening to a message the other day by Brother Henry, and he said, they say that believers ought to love each other. He said, they do. He said, they do. They do. Believers ought to treat each other with respect. He said, they do. They do. Boy, that's convicting, you know. Lord, help me. God's people do love each other because they love the Lord. Love is of God. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. That's first point. That's the attitude toward each other. Now here's the attitude toward ourselves. starting in verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. If a man thinks himself to be something by himself, of himself, he thinks himself to be something that he can do all for himself. If a man has that attitude, he's nothing. He's nothing. He didn't create himself. He doesn't sustain himself. If he thinks that he's established righteousness before God because he's something special, that Pharisee, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. You know what he just said? I'm something. And you're not. The Lord says, a man that thinks that, he's nothing. And he deceives himself. He's deceived. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You know, if you think that you're something, you think that you're not susceptible to stumble, like this brother right here that was overtaken in a fault. I'd never do that. You'll never catch me doing, you'll never catch me with that kind of attitude. But, verse 4, let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, let me tell you, I'll just very briefly tell you what he said right there. That was kind of one of those scriptures that I had to read and read and read. I think the Lord's given me some light on it. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Examine yourself. Let every man prove his own work. Let a man examine himself, not by another. I mean, somebody that has stumbled, of which I'm the very one that would be prone to do the same thing and more. But if one has stumbled, and I compared myself to what he is going through, well, then I look pretty good. You know, you don't see me down there. But if I examine myself by God's Word, and not by a fallen brother, a brother overtaken in a fault, if I examine myself by God's Word and I find myself, now here's what he's saying, let every man prove his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There's a thought that's in there that's implied, and here's what it is. If a man be found harsh and haughty and disrespectful to a brother that has slipped, then according to God's Word, I'm disobedient. I'm the disobedient one. I'm to lift up a fallen brother and help him and pray for him, encourage him, put my arm around him, tell him, say, listen, I love you. Man, I tell you what, I love you. I want to be right here with you. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. But if I find myself, and I have, by the grace of God, a spirit of humility, of forgiveness, of tenderness, and forbearance, then here's what I can come to the conclusion. Then I am what I am by the grace of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't born with that attitude. I was born with an attitude that's going to look down my nose on you. And I'm going to criticize you and I'm going to make fun of you and I'm going to talk about you as soon as I can. I'm going to come right over here and I'm going to talk about this with this person about you. And then when you get up, I'm going to talk about him. And then what's going to happen is you two are going to talk about me. That's the way it's going to be. But for the grace of God. So he said, listen, let every man prove his own work. And if he finds himself with a spirit of kindness, Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. It didn't come from him. But inside, God Almighty's done something for him. Helped him. And not in another. So, verse 5, last verse. For every man shall bear his own burden. Here's what that phrase right there means. Every man's going to have his proper reward. Every man's going to bear his own burden. Every man's going to get what's coming to him. That's what it's saying. Everybody, turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Here's what's going to happen one of these days. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now here's what he just said. Every man's going to bear his own burden. Every man is going to have his proper reward. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn to Revelation 20. Here's what's going to happen on that day. We've read this many times, but it definitely bears reading again. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. The Apostle John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, that is, of hiding. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's coming a day when all men, women, going to stand before God, and the books are going to be open. The books. The books of the Lord's omniscience. I'm going to turn to Matthew 9:4. If you want to turn, I'll just read this. Matthew 9:4. The books of the Lord's omniscience. Now, I'm sure that's a terminology that's setting forth the certainty or the accuracy of what's going to be brought up. Whether it's an actual book, I doubt that, but it's setting forth that all these things are going to be brought forth. They're recorded. How are they recorded? Well, first of all, I know this. They're recorded by the Lord's omniscience. Listen to Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Now let me ask you this. A man that dies without Christ, when do you think the Lord will forget that? The books are going to be open. The books of His omniscience. Every thought that a man, a woman, outside of Christ has ever thought in rebellion, which is sin, is going to be brought up. Books are going to be open. The book of man's rejection of the gospel. Listen to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 14, 15. The book of the rejection of the gospel. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Those that have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll not have that man rule over me. Books are going to be open. And the Lord's going to bring it up. He's the judge. The book of the law of nature. Nature itself declares the handiwork of God. Is that what Scripture says? So therefore, they're without excuse. All the books are going to be open. And the book. And those that are without Christ are going to be judged out of the books according to their works. Can you imagine standing before God and knowing that everything that I've ever thought and said and done without a mediator, without a substitute, without the blood, no covering, no righteousness before God. And God Almighty is going to deal with every man, every woman, out of those books of His omniscience and the law and creation. They're going to deal with them in themselves. Every man's going to bear his own burden. But for all who by faith, regenerated by the grace of God, robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, given a new heart, made willing in the day of God's power, called by that power and grace, they come to Christ, and in their heart cast themselves upon the Lord alone, trusting in no work that they've done. Not trusting in their profession, not trusting in their faith, not trusting in their baptism, not trusting in taking the Lord's Supper. No works of righteousness that we've done. But according to His mercy, Christ has borne their burden, their weaknesses, their sin at Calvary, and has put away their guilt and robed them in His obedience, in His righteousness. And now, in Him, He, having put away their guilt and given them the robe of His righteousness, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here they are. They have no sin. No sin to answer for. They're before the judgment of God. And God Almighty, who looks at them in Himself, He who is the judge, is their husband. He's died for them, redeemed them, covered them in His own blood. These are the ones He's going to say unto them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Every man's going to bear his own burden. He's going to receive his proper reward. And here's the reward of those that God Almighty has everlastingly loved, chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy. And standing in Him, they're holy. They're holy. There is no sin, no record of sin. That's a new man right there, created in righteousness. And you want to know what that man's going to receive? Everything in his Redeemer. Everything. Everything. Every man's going to bear his own burden. He's going to receive his proper reward. And in Him, we have life. Life. Life eternal. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.